I'd like you to take your Bible today and turn to the book of Ezra. Ezra, an Old Testament book tucked in there, and I think you'll find it quickly. If you need to go to your index and find it, look at Ezra chapter 9. I do not know why you came to church today. If you came to be helped, I'm sure the Scripture is going to help you today. One of my favorite things to do is to help people when they face the hardships of life. My life's verse is Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. The Bible says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." A man that I helped many years ago, I got a package from him this week, and it was a nice ink pen that had engraved on it Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. If you face a heartache, if you face some uphill battles, if you'll let me today, I think I can help you. And might I say this, if you don't face an uphill battle this week, you will. You will next week or the week after that. Yours will come, and it would be best that you be prepared. So listen with expectation of God's deliverance in the future, or listen today because you need it today. Ezra chapter 9, stand with me if you would, out of reverence to the Scripture. Ezra chapter 9, we're going to start with verse number 1. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says, "Now when these things were done, the prince came to me, saying, 'The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief in the trespass. When I heard this thing, I rent my garments and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished," or astonished. "Then were assembled unto me every one that trembled at the word of God of Israel, because of the transgression of those that had been carried away. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. And at the evening sacrifice I arose from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God, and said, 'O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses grown up unto the heavens.'" Now look at verse number 15. Verse 15 says, "O Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous, for we remain yet escaped as it is this day." Look back at me, if you will, if you've seen it. In verse number 5, it is said somebody faced heaviness. Then, by the time we get to the last verse we read at verse 15, it says, "Yet we escaped." Thank God that when heaviness comes in our life, there is an escape. Let's pray. Father, bless us today. You have written a supernatural book. You have written a perfect book. You created man. You created us. Therefore, what we face, you have the solution. And we find that solution in the book that you wrote. Someone here today, Lord, is desperate for this sermon. I don't know who they are, Lord, but you do. You do. All of us need it, but somebody or many somebodies came to church today and they just said of themselves, life has become so heavy. I pray, dear God, that this church service will accomplish an eternal purpose. Lift those who are under the weight of the heaviness of life, please. Spirit of God, do a work through us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. Ezra was what we would call a post-captivity prophet, meaning a prophet after some folks had been in captivity. God's people had been in captivity to a group of people called the Babylonians. When given the chance to get out of that captivity or get out of that heathen land, most of the people decided to stay. They had become like the heathen that had held them captive. And they felt that they were doing fine in that culture. You know, I wonder sometimes about America. We say, well, we wish America could go back to where it used to be, where there was revival and God's book was exalted and prayer and churches were what they're supposed to be. If God offered that kind of a revival or said to us we could go to another land where it was available, half the people in America would say, no, I'll stay right here. I'll stay right here. You can tell that because there are churches that yet believe the old time way, and there are places where you can be preached to the truth, and they don't choose those churches. Oh, but in this story, a group of the people that had been in captivity under the leadership or under the time of Ezra, they were told, we get you out of captivity, and they said, nah, we'll just stay right here under the Babylonian rule. Ezra is the preacher, and he is the preacher to that small percentage of people who said, we still have a heart for God and we want out of this. Remember, a bunch of the people stayed behind. In Ezra chapter 9, we see that story and its effects on those people, its effect on Ezra, the people's choice to stay in the world, in that captivity, is brought to Ezra by the princes of the day. In other words, some people came to Ezra and said, Ezra, God had made it so we could get out of captivity, and a bunch of the people are not going to get out of captivity. They're going to stay right here in this God-forsaken country instead of doing what God wants them to do. And the Bible says in verse number 5 that as a result of this, Ezra experiences heaviness. You know what that means? It broke his heart. He felt this weight come upon him. I was counseling a man, and he had just gone through some very difficult times. And he called me, and he texted me first, and he said, it's urgent. I need you right away. And the minute I seen the text, I gave him a call, and this is what he said. He said, I feel a pressure in my chest that I can't describe to you. And I said, Doc, you need to go to the hospital if you feel pressure in your chest. And he began to weep. And he said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about my body. He said, I feel the pressure of life. I almost feel like I'm being crushed by that heaviness that I'm facing right now. I think there are people under the sound of my voice in this auditorium. There are people that will listen to this on CD or via the internet that also feel the heaviness of life. There are things that have come upon you. There are husbands here today, men here today, that face a heaviness. And though I'll not try to describe what came upon you this week, this month, recently, today, that has caused that heaviness, there are men here that feel it. There are wives here that feel that heaviness. There are parents here. You say, we just feel a heaviness, and sometimes you feel like you'll be crushed beneath the load. Believe it or not, teenagers can face it. And I realize you look at your teenager's burden and you say, well, they're burdened. Wait until you become an adult. Wait till you become a parent. But they're not an adult yet. And they're not a parent yet. And they face as large a burden to them in their youth as you do as an adult. Their burdens are real and their heartaches are heavy. And you'll remember back when you were a teenager, some of the things you faced were devastating to you and real to you. And there's somebody here that's a teenager and you face a burden today. Children face burdens. There's a sickness that has come upon you. You're a widow. And you just wonder how you're going to make it. There are people in this room, you feel the heaviness of life. Some self-inflicted. Others, the infliction that you face has come upon you by the devil or by somebody else. But I want to explain something to you today. Your pastor, I'll help you even if you're the one that caused your heaviness. I know some preachers, they'll say, now don't you go out and get yourself in a mess. And the people do. And then the pastor says, well, you caused the mess. Go sort through it yourself. I won't do that to you. I'm going to tell you not to cause yourself a mess. And I'll preach to you and I'll throw a fit about letting the devil in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. The minute you don't do what I instruct, I'll be there and I'll help you. I'm not saying that I'm pleased with your disobedience or the mess that you cause, but I'll be there for you. And if I can't solve your problem, I'll love you as you go through it. But boy, life brings heaviness. I can't wait till we get to heaven. Now, I'm not trying to get on the next truckload going up there. You know, I'm not asking to come today. But I am telling you this. When we get to heaven, our heartaches and our burdens will be over. But until then, we're going to face them. We are going to face them. Ezra, the minute the men came and said to Ezra, there's a group of the people that do not want to leave the captivity. The Bible says Ezra was astonished. You've seen that word. That's our modern day word for astonished. You see, that word came to him and he went, oh my. What were they thinking? He was astonished. He was stunned. In his heart, he was devastated. He was blown away by this. And though you might not understand how that could be heavy, if you were a man of God and people that needed deliverance wouldn't accept it, it would be heavy for you. You would understand. You know, when you're a mechanic and somebody blows up the engine in their car and you just put that engine in there, you say, boy, I can't believe they did that. Let me explain. Your business is cars. The man of God's business is people. When people blow their life up and when people do things to their life, it weighs heavy on the man of God's heart because people are his business. That's what he loves. That's what he invests himself in. And the Bible says for some reason when Ezra heard that this group of people said, we're not going to leave the captivity, the Bible says it became so heavy on him. It became the heaviness of his life, which was probably akin to maybe even a little depression as a result of it. It got him down. Now, I thank God. When we get to verse number 15, the Bible says there in verse 15, the Lord God of Israel, thou art righteous. We remain yet escaped. In other words, that got Ezra down, there is a process that he went through that got Ezra up. There is a process that he went through to escape the heaviness that he faced. This is the worst time in the world to tell you what I'm about to tell you, but I'm not real good with timing. I heard this joke, and it's a good one. This woman married an ugly man, and she was out on the bridge, and raging traffic everywhere, and the water was high, and the rapids was just racing, and the woman decided, this was so heavy on her, the ugliness of her husband, that she's going to commit suicide. Well, along came a Baptist preacher. I mean, she was standing on the edge. And the Baptist preacher said, ma'am, what are you doing? She said, I married an ugly man. And I thought I could take it, but I can't take it. I said, and he said, well, how bad is this? She said, the heaviness of what I carry is just terrible. And the Baptist preacher said, now, ma'am, listen to me. Listen. Look, you can handle this no matter how bad it is. Let's do this. He stood up there on the edge. He said, here's what let's do. You show me a picture, your husband. I am going to help you through this heavy part of your life. He stood up there. She pulled out her purse, pulled out a picture. He looked at it. He grabbed her by the hand, and they both jumped. Some of you women, you can make it. You can take it. You might have married an ugly man, but at least he brings home the bacon. Oh, the burdens that we face. And you know what? Sometimes you might even get the impression, you might even say to yourself, I'm not sure that anybody can help me through this. Now, I'll try to help you through it. But let me tell you something. There may be a day when you face something that the people around you can't necessarily help solve the problem, but I will guarantee you there's no problem so big that God can't help you through it. You and I may have to jump off the bridge. I might not have the solution, but God's never jumping off the bridge with you. God will help you through the times of heaviness. Stay with me now, and let me talk to you about this whole thing. I call the sermon, I Arose Up. That's what Ezra said. Ezra said, I arose up. Now, first of all, if you want to get up from that heaviness, if you face the heaviness today, listen to this. Number one, it's easier to arise up from your heaviness when you're with the right crowd. When you're with the right crowd. Listen to this. Ezra 9:4, this is a part of the solution that gets Ezra to the point where he has escaped. It says, "Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembleth at the word of the God of Israel." You remember, there's a group that wouldn't do what God said, but Ezra got himself around the people that would do what God said. You see, for Ezra to go from heaviness, many verses later, to the escape from the heaviness, he got himself around the right kind of people. Folks, when you're down, to get up, you need to get to the places that will help you to get up. You say, where's that? Church. You know, you understand there are people out there today that are part of our church, and they're depressed, and they're facing heaviness, and they would even say, oh, God, help me. Well, you know what? They should have gotten themselves up today and got down here to church, because the pastor is answering God's prayer, or the prayer to God. God, help me. God planned a sermon to help somebody escape from their heaviness. When you get down, get yourself into church. Many times we get down because we're out of church, but get yourself in church. When you get down, get to that place that will get you up. When you get down, get to the people that will get you up. The lost people won't get you up, but saved people will help you rise up from that heaviness. When you're down, get to the kinds of leaders that will help you. Let your pastor help you. When the heaviness of life has come upon you, don't go to the world. You say, what do you mean? You don't need to go to the booze. You don't need to go to the drugs. You don't need to go, you don't need to go to the chat room and start talking with some wacko that doesn't know what they're talking about. What you need to do is to get to the people that will help you get up. When something heavy hits you, don't let the devil convince you to stay away from God's people and God's house. He'll say, oh, don't go to church. You will be embarrassed there. Don't go to church. Stay home and lick your wounds. No, the best thing you can do is you drag yourself out of your bed of depression. You throw some clothes on. We'd prefer if you'd shower, but if you don't, you can set off in the corner like Brother Ellswick is right now. Obviously an issue there. But you get yourself down here and let God help you. God's people will help you to arise out of your heaviness. You know something, the devil's a liar. He'll convince you to stay away from church. You know, you need God the most when you're facing something heavy. When heaviness comes upon you, show up at church and do all you can. Do what you can. Hey, run to God's people when heaviness is upon you. I recommend this. If heaviness comes upon you, the last thing you need to do is go find some other depressed person and yoke up with them. One depression plus another depression does not equal victory. It equals worse depression. Misery loves company. And don't call your best depressed friend. Help me, I'm down. Okay, let's go get down together. And I'm not talking about getting down. I'm saying you're down emotionally. You know what you better find? You better find somebody that knows how to keep your chin up. You women, you're down and you got negatives in life. So you go find somebody that's got negatives in life and you start sharing your negatives in life. And you know what? You're not going to make yourself better. You just turn yourself into a critic. You just turn yourself into someone that spreads the doom and the gloom. Find somebody that can smile. Find somebody that can get you up. Find somebody that can encourage your heart. Find somebody that wants you to have victory. Find somebody that really cares about you, that won't mope with you, but they'll hope with you. Hey, you know what Ezra did? He said, this thing hit me. It was heavy. He said, I got with the people that were still right with God. Secondly, if you're down, if you will tremble at God's word, it will help you to arise out of your heaviness. Tremble at God's word. In Ezra chapter 9, verse number 4, the Bible says that he trembled at the words of the God of Israel. Ezra was down. He got with some people that trembled. Ezra trembled at the word of God. You say, what does that mean? To tremble at his words means you believe his words. To tremble at his words means to have faith in his words. To tremble at his words means to have confidence in his words. To tremble at his words means to have respect of his words. To tremble at his words means to obey, and obey immediately his words. See, folks, when you face the heaviness of life, get to godly, encouraged people, get to church, get somewhere where the Word of God can make an impact on your depression, or the Word of God can make an impact on your heaviness. Believe the Bible. Believe it. In Hebrews 13:5, where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me tell you something. When you're down, you tremble at Hebrews 13:5, where Jesus said, hey, mom might have forsaken you. Dad might have forsaken you. Your boss might have forsaken you. A friend might have forsaken you. Your child might have forsaken you. Your husband might have forsaken you. Your wife might have forsaken you. But God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If everybody else turns tail and runs and you say, I'm all alone. No, you're never alone. God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Tremble at the word of God. That'll get your chin up. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That will help you. You get to the word of God and you let the word of God lift you up when you feel the heaviness of life. Lamentations 3:23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That'll help encourage you. Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That will help you if you're down. I'm telling you, the Bible will get you up when you're down. It will relieve the heaviness, because the Word of God will lighten up the burden in your life. The Bible says this in Romans 8:35-37. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay. And all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So that verse will help get you up. Hey, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Folks, did you know something? God's not dead. God is alive, and God can encourage you. You get into the Word of God. When heaviness comes, don't go to the bad crowd, get to the good crowd. When heaviness comes, run to the Word of God and let it encourage you. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, seeing he ever liveth to maketh intercession for them. Believe God's Word and arise out of thy heaviness. The Bible says in Psalm 119:81, but I have hope in thy word. You say, I have a loved one that has passed away. Then believe John 14:1, where it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. You say, I have a heaviness because I have a loved one that's not saved. They're lost. What do I do? Then you go to the Bible and let 2 Peter 3:9 take that heaviness and lighten the load, where it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, but preacher, I am backslidden, and the heaviness of my backslidden is crushing me. Then you go to Hosea chapter 14, verse number 4, where it says, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. The heaviness over the situations in life over which you have no control. Let me tell you, Genesis 18:14 says, is there anything too hard for God? Hey, you say, I've got heaviness because of an illness or a disease that's come upon my body. Then let the Bible help you. Psalm 103:3 says, bless the Lord who healeth all thy diseases. You say, my heaviness is over my sin. Then let Psalm 138:7 help you, where it says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Listen, folks, you're facing heaviness. Don't run to the wrong crowd, run to the right crowd. Don't run to the wrong place, run to church. If you're facing heaviness, don't run to your Facebook, don't run to your email, don't run to some book written by some wacko psychologist. You run to the only book that God ever wrote. You run to that blessed Word of God and let God get you up. And Christians are not supposed to stay down. We will all get knocked down, we'll spend some time down, but Christians don't stay down. Daniel went in the den of lions, and he came out of the den of lions. Brother Knopfinger, always getting himself into trouble. One of the sweetest goofballs you'll ever meet. We were working on a project together. We were in a hurry. We took off, decided to stop by Smithfield's and grab a little bite to eat. And he said, "Preacher, I was in such a hurry I forgot my false teeth." He said, "I'm not sure I can chew my food." I said, "Well, it's awkward. I don't know what I'm supposed to say." Mine are locked in. Sitting right beside us, you're not going to believe this, sitting right beside us, a man said, "I've got a set of teeth here." He handed Brother Nofsinger. Brother Nofsinger said, "Oh, these are way too small. They're way too tight." He went to a second pair. The guy said, I'll try these. So he tried them. These were way too large. And then finally the guy said, "Well, I've got a third pair." Brother Nofsinger put them in. They fit just right. He started eating his food. He turned to this fellow and he said, "Fella, it's a miracle that you were here today. I couldn't eat a lick of my food." Brother Nofsinger said, "How long have you been in dentistry?" The guy said, "Oh, I'm not a dentist. I'm an undertaker." There's heaviness in life when you can't get your food chewed. Folks, listen. Ezra's heart was broken. The Bible says a heaviness came upon him. The first thing he did is he got around the people that would lift his spirit, the people of God, the place of God, the church. Not only that, he went to the Word of God, those that yet trembled at the Word of God, and he began to search the Scripture. Hey, and the same Scripture that encouraged you during your last battle will encourage you again. It's as potent and powerful as ever. Matter of fact, it grows in power every day. It's still there. But thirdly, if you want to arise from your heaviness, you need to learn to be obedient to God. In Ezra chapter 9, verse number 4, it mentions the evening sacrifice. And in Ezra 9:5, it says, "And at the evening sacrifice," here's what happened. Ezra faced heaviness, but when it was time to serve God and it was time for the evening sacrifice, he went on and did what he needed to do for God. You say, "I'm facing heaviness, so I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm facing heaviness, so I'm not going to pray. I'm facing heaviness, so I'm not going to run my bus route." Or, "I'm facing heaviness, and I'm not going to participate in my music." Or, "I'm facing heaviness, and I can't work the nursery." And, "I'm facing heaviness, and I can't go out soul winning." Let me tell you, you're making the mistake of your life when you're facing heaviness. Keep on going for God. You say, "You trying to get something out of me?" No, my friend, I'm trying to put something in you. If you run and you cancel out on God every time heaviness comes, you are not solving a problem. You're letting the devil have the victory. You say, "Well, I'd have to come with a bad attitude." Bring her on, buddy. I don't think you ought to do anything you do with God for a bad attitude, but I'd rather you come and be where you're supposed to be and sit there and grunt than to stay at home hoping that Joel Osteen or Joyce Myers will figure you out. Both of those men won't help you. Hey, when Ezra faced this heaviness, he said, "The evening came. It was time for me to get involved in the evening sacrifice." He picked himself up. He clothed himself. He shaved. He put one foot in front of another. And he said, "My heart is heavy. My heart is broken. But I'm not backing down for God. I'm going to keep on going while I face this heaviness." Obey. Keep reading your Bible. Obey. Go soul winning. You'd be shocked. It'll cheer you up. Some of you need to learn when you're facing a heaviness to go bury yourself in service for God. It will help you. You know, God's medicine is for a sin-sick soul, and it's very healing. Obey and go work on that bus route. During your heaviness, obey and be in the church services. Obey and teach that Sunday school class. Obey and do your ushering. Obey and be in the choir. Obey. Hey, that choir is better for the choir members than it is for the congregation. Music will heal you. You're having a bad morning, come in here and sing about the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You know what? It may not start there, but if you'll get in there and sing about it, even when your heart is heavy, you'll get the joy. Obey during the heaviness. Obedience, scripturally, is a source of power. Say, "Oh, God, help me, but God, I'm not going to do anything you told me to do." Well, you sometimes got to turn the key if you want the engine to start. Say, "What's the key?" Obedience. To obey is better than to sacrifice. And so, say, "I'm facing heaviness. What do I do?" Number one, you get to the right people in the right place. If I'm facing heaviness, what do I do? You tremble at the Word of God. You let the Word of God encourage you and find the Scripture that will encourage you. If you're facing heaviness, just like Ezra, he was obedient to do what needed to be done. Number next, to arise from your heaviness, you'll need to humble yourself. Listen to what he said in Ezra 9:5. He says, "And having rent my garments and my mantle, I fell upon my knees." The rending of the garments was a picture of humility. He fell upon his knees. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 10, "Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Folks, the way up from your down is to humble yourself. Don't take the attitude, "Well, this shouldn't be happening to me. This is supposed to happen to the bad Christians." That's not a stance of humility. You say, "What kind of attitude should I take? I deserve hell. Anything's better than hell." In humility, tell God you will accept His will and not become angry or bitter or disappointed or despondent because of it. You know, it's a sin for you to have an arrogant attitude toward God when you're facing heaviness. God's good. All the time. "Well, not good in my life right now." No, you're not good in your life right now, but God is. You say, "I think God has an attitude toward me." No, your problem is you got an attitude toward God. You let God be true and every man a liar. Anything's better than hell. Do you know that when Jesus was being crucified, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine." What was that? Ultimate humility. And folks, humility is not what others think you are. It's what God knows you are. It's what God knows you are. But Ezra humbled himself, and what happened? He got victory. He got with the right crowd in the right place. He got to the Word of God to encourage him. He made sure that he was obedient and continued to serve God in spite of the heaviness. He humbled himself. The Bible says in verse number 5, he fell on his knees. What happened? He prayed. I'm going to make a couple statements here, and I cannot develop this far enough. I wish I could. The Bible says in Ezra 9:5, "I fell upon my knees." Ezra then, to help himself through the heaviness, he prayed. Folks, it is my experience, and maybe you're an exception. Depressed people don't usually have consistent prayer lives. But listen to this. You say, "I do." Most depressed people that do have consistent prayer lives pray primarily for themselves, because that's all they think about. So, you know, I'm not dealing with anybody in our church right now that's facing all sorts of depression. I'm not trying to attack or hurt anybody. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. But I've been around people for an awful long time. People that don't pray at all are more apt to be depressed. People that do pray that are still depressed, many times all they do is pray about themselves. "Oh, God, my foot hurts. Oh, God, my leg hurts. Oh, God, my back hurts. Oh, God, I don't have enough money. Oh, God, I need gas. Oh, God, I need food. Oh, God, I need clothes. Oh, God, me, 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 God, me, me." You think you're a prayer warrior and you're self-centered. Pray for somebody else's child who is sick. I'm not telling you not to pray for your needs. For some of you, that's all you do. You pray for you, for you, for you, for you. And you're constantly bringing to your own attention what you think are the negatives in your life. Y'all okay? Hey, pray for somebody else's marriage while you pray for yours. Pray for somebody else's finances while you pray for yours. Pray for somebody else's salvation while you're worried about the salvation of yours. Pray for somebody else's needs and somebody else's hurts and somebody else's heartaches. Jesus was about to die and be crucified. And you know what he said? He said, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me." Jesus said, "I'm facing the heaviest day of my life. I am God. I'm taking on the death, the burial, and resurrection, all the pressure of all the universe. I'm under the heaviness of the attack of Satan." And he didn't sit there and say, "Oh God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me." He said, "I'm going to help somebody else." And some of you, if you're not careful, you'll be so self-centered in your heaviness, you'll keep yourself down. Get involved and help somebody else. I got to move on. To arise out of your heaviness, accept the encouragement from God when it comes. Ezra chapter 9, verse number 5, it says, and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. In other words, Ezra, he did all these things that I just taught you. And while he was down on his knees, he did this. He wasn't doing that in an act of humility. The Bible says he spread out his arms. You don't want to know why? Getting ready to receive. I have four children. When they come at me like this, I know they wanted money. They were expecting to receive. Let me tell you all something. If you'll get with right people, if you'll get into church, if you'll grab a scripture and let it encourage you, if you'll keep obeying God, if you'll humble yourself and pray, you might as well go ahead and put your hand out and say, okay, God, I'm ready to receive the encouragement I came to get. And you'll get it. You, by faith, will get it. If I were you, I wouldn't reject this sermon. There's some of you, if you have frequent issues with the heaviness of life, you probably ought to order this CD and listen to it time and time again. And be reminded about the process that Ezra went through. Don't reject this sermon. And let me tell you all something. If you go to God and you say, and I will promise you, cross my heart, hope to die, I'm 100% sure about what I'm about to tell you. If you go to God and you obey this process, and you say, I want out of the heaviness, and you obey this process, God will provide the strength. I'm 100% sure. 100% sure. You say, what does that mean? If you ask for strength to get through a burden and to go through it with spiritual dignity, He always provides. You say, but I went through a burden and a heaviness, and I did not go through it with victory and spiritual dignity. It was not God's fault. It is not the lack of God to provide the strength. It is the lack of the Christian from capitalizing and receiving and using the strength that God gives. You cannot blame God for your lack. Spread your hands out and receive that strength. Do you ever heard that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? If you have been saying, God, I really need help with some of this heaviness, you've been given that help today. Now, what you do with it's up to you. And if you take this whole week and you decide you're going to go ahead and have a heavy attitude, that won't be on God. He provided what you need. And then I finish. Ezra 9:15, it says, O Lord God of Israel, Thou art righteous, for we remain and are yet escaped. Ezra said, I got knocked down. Crushed by the weight. He went through the process that I just taught you. And in the end he said, but you know what? Praise God, I escaped. I was with the right crowd, the right place. I was humble, obedient, selfless. I prayed. And I reached out and accepted what God offered. And it did what God said it would do. Christian, if you're heavy, you're astonished at the weight that you carry. Follow this process. If you're not a Christian here today, let me put it this way so you understand it. If you're not saved, if you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you need to get saved. Hell is a heaviness. You've come across the right people because now you're listening to an old-time gospel preacher. So you did the right thing by being here. Your heaviness is hell. The right people, that's a Baptist preacher that will tell you the difference between heaven and hell. The right place, that's a church that's old time religion that'll tell you the truth about heaven or hell. You say, well, what's going to help me? God's word. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, what should I do? Obey God and get saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, what do I do? Well, humble yourself. Well, what do I do? Well, you pray. What do I do? You accept Jesus. Do you hear the process? Heaviness, hell. Right place, church. Word of God with the answer. Obey God's desire for you to be saved. Humble yourself. Ask Christ to save you. Guess what? Escape hell. The worst heaviness of life. It's all tucked in to that little story about Ezra and a captivity and his broken heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this: are you born again? Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If you do not know you're born again, if you do not know you're saved, I invite you to the Savior. It's a simple process. It's not hard. We have people that can show you how to be born again. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I do not know I'm born again. Pray for me, please. Would you raise your hand? I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you. But if you need to be saved, you raise your hand. How many of you here could give testimony to having been saved? You say, if I die today, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? God bless you. You may put your hand down. There are people in this room, and for a variety of reasons, self-inflicted, devil-inflicted, life-inflicted, but you face heaviness. Some people don't even know you face heaviness because you do such a good job of smiling on your way in and smiling on your way out. But on the inside, there's a frown in your life, there's a difficulty, there's a weight, there's a heavy burden that you face. And you face that, and you know you face that. Today, God has provided the steps and an answer to relieve one of that heaviness so they can say like Ezra did, I am escaped. Here today would say, Pastor, I desperately needed what I've heard from the Word of God today. Desperately needed it. There are hands up already. I desperately, amen. There's a good handful of hands up. We are going to have an altar call. If you've been saved and never made that public, we'd like to just put your name in the church records. You come. If you have been saved and baptized by immersion and you want to join fellowship with our church by way of membership, you are welcome to come. As long as you've been saved and baptized after your salvation, you may join. If you're here today and you're not born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're here, and many of you are, you say, Pastor, I needed the sermon today. I didn't even realize how much I needed it. You need to leave your seat. Humble yourself. Leave your seat. Come down here. Get on your knees and say, oh, God, help me. And then, though you don't need to do it physically, just spiritually reach your arms out and receive the help and get out of the stupor, get out of the heaviness that you face. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You come if you need the altar. If you're facing a burden, if you're facing a heartache, you come and you get on your knees. You're facing something heavy. You come. Is it heaviness, Dad or Mom? Is it heaviest? Is it heavy, teenager? I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. Is it sickness? Pain? What is it? You just come and you pray. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're looking for an old-fashioned Baptist church, that's what we are. No apologies about it. That's what we are. We will love you and help you. We will also tell you the truth from the Word of God. It is our ultimate authority. Let me reiterate and emphasize something about a point of the sermon. If you face heaviness constantly, I am every bit for you praying for yourself, but not only for yourself. Some of you talk yourself into depressions by talking to yourself while you're talking to God, and it's almost like you wallow in your own self-pity. You want to pray? You pray. But you'll do yourself a favor by not only praying for you, pray for somebody else that's got a sick child, and pray for somebody else that's got financial problems. So many times there's a self-inflicted, self-centered depression that we put ourselves in because all we do is think about how bad we have it. The truth of the matter is, you're not in hell and you don't have it as bad as what you'd like to convince yourself. One more time through the song, please. The altar is still open. There's yet someone coming. Let's play the song one more time, please. One more time.